Welcome to the Daily Radio Bible. The day is Sunday. It's July the 30th, day 211 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name's Hunter, and we are doing what we do every day. We're taking some time in God's Word. We're letting God's Word take a little time on us, and oh, how we need that, no doubt about that. Today, I am coming to you from the beautiful Garden State, New Jersey, and really looking forward to our time here. And just, again, a shout out to our folks here, the DRB peeps in New Jersey. Would love to connect with you while we're here, and feel free to email me and see if we can find some time. Well, we're going to take some time right now in the book of Isaiah, chapters 60 through 62, and then we go on to John's Gospel, chapter 1. I am really looking forward to this. What do you say we jump right in? Isaiah chapter 60, we are reading through the New Living Translation. Future glory for Jerusalem. Arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all to see. For the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance. Look and see, for everyone is coming home. Your sons are coming from distant lands. Your daughters will be carried home. Your eyes will shine. Your heart will thrill with joy, for merchants from around the world will come to you. They will bring you the wealth of many lands. Vast caravans of camels will converge on you. The camels of Midian and Ephah. The people of Sheba will bring gold and frankincense and will come worshiping the Lord. The flocks of Kedar will be given to you, and rams of Nebaioth will be brought for my altars. I will accept their offerings, and I will make my temple glorious. And what do I see flying like clouds to Israel, like doves to their nests? They are ships from the ends of the earth, from lands that trust in me, led by the great ships of Tarshish. They are bringing the people of Israel home from far away, carrying their silver and gold. They will honor the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has filled you with splendor. Foreigners will come to rebuild your towns, and their kings will serve you. Though I have destroyed you in my anger, I will now have mercy on you through my grace. Your gates will stay open day and night to receive the wealth of many lands. The kings of the world will be led captives as in a victory procession, for the nations that refuse to serve you will be destroyed. The glory of Lebanon will be yours, the forest of cypress, fir, and pine, to beautify my sanctuary. My temple will be glorious. The descendants of your tormentors will come and bow before you. Those who despised you will kiss your feet. They will call you the City of the Lord and Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Though you were once despised and hated, with no one traveling through you, I will make you beautiful forever, a joy to all generations. Powerful kings and mighty nations will satisfy your every need, as though you were a child nursing at the breast of a queen. You will know at last that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. I will exchange your bronze for gold, your iron for silver, your wood for bronze, and your stones for iron. I will make peace your leader and righteousness your ruler. Violence will disappear from your land, and desolation and destruction of war will end. Salvation will surround you like city walls, and praise will be on the lips of all who enter there. No longer will you need the sun to shine by day, nor the moon to give its light by night, for the Lord your God will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set, your moon will not go down, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. Your days of mourning will come to an end, all your people will be righteous, they will possess their land forever, for I will plant them there with my own hands, in order to bring myself glory. The smallest family will become 1,000 people, and the tiniest group will become a mighty nation. At the right time, I, the Lord, will make it happen. Isaiah 61. Good news for the oppressed. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and repair cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them, though they have been deserted for many generations. Foreigners will be your servants. They will feed your flocks and plow your fields and tend your vineyards. You will be called priests of the Lord, ministers of God. You will feed on the treasures of the nations and boast in their riches. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be recognized and honored among the nations. Everyone will realize that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding, or a bride with her jewels. The sovereign Lord will show his justice to the nations of the world. Everyone will praise him. His righteousness will be like a garden in early spring, with plants springing up everywhere. Isaiah 62. Isaiah's prayer for Jerusalem. Because I love Zion, I will not keep still. Because my heart yearns for Jerusalem, I cannot remain silent. I will not stop praying for her until her righteousness shines like the dawn and her salvation blazes like a burning torch. The nations will see your righteousness. World leaders will be blinded by your glory. And you will be given a new name by the Lord's own mouth. The Lord will hold you in his hand for all to see, a splendid crown in the hand of God. Never again will you be called the forsaken city or the desolate land. Your new name will be the city of God's delight and the bride of God, for the Lord delights in you and will claim you as his bride. Your children will commit themselves to you, O Jerusalem, just as a young man commits himself to his bride. Then God will rejoice over you as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. O Jerusalem, I have posted watch over your walls. I will pray day and night continually. Take no rest, all you who pray to the Lord. Give the Lord no rest until he completes his work, until he makes Jerusalem the pride of the earth. The Lord has sworn to Jerusalem by his own strength, I will never again hand you over to your enemies. Never again will foreign warriors come and take away your grain and new wine. You raise the grain, and you will eat it. Praise the Lord within the courtyards of the temple. You yourselves will drink the wine you have pressed. Go out through the gates. Prepare the highway for my people to return. Smooth out the road, pull out the boulders, raise a flag for all the nations to see. The Lord has sent this message to every land. Tell the people of Israel, look, your Savior's coming. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. They will be called the holy people and the people redeemed by the Lord, and Jerusalem will be known as the desirable place and the city no longer forsaken. John chapter 1. Christ, the eternal Word. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone's coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' From his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." This was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders sent priests and temple assistants from Jerusalem to ask John, "Who are you?" He came right out and said, "I am not the Messiah." "Well then, who are you?" they asked. "Are you Elijah?" "No," he replied. "Are you the prophet we are expecting?" "No." "Then who are you?" "We need an answer for those who sent us. What do you have to say about yourself?" John replied in the words of the prophet Isaiah, "I am a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Clear the way for the Lord's coming.'" Then the Pharisees who had been sent asked him, "If you aren't the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet, what right do you have to baptize?" John told them, "I baptize with water, but right here in the crowd is someone you do not recognize. Though his ministry follows mine, I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandal." This encounter took place in Bethany, an area east of the Jordan River, where John was baptizing. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said, 'A man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John testified, "I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God." The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. "What do you want?" he asked them. They replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come and see," he said. And it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. When Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus, looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Come follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Nazareth!" exclaimed Nathanael. "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" "Come and see for yourself," Philip replied. As they approached, Jesus said, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity." "How do you know about me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." Then Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Jesus asked him, "Do you believe this just because I told you I had seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." Then he said, "I tell you the truth, you will see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth." And now may the Son of Man, who is the stairway between heaven and earth, give his blessing to the reading of this word. Amen. Get ready to do some stairs. Jesus calls himself the stairway. The prophets, Isaiah, John the Baptist, they're all calling Jesus the light, the anointed one, the Messiah. And that he is, but here at the end of this chapter, Jesus calls himself something else. He says he is the stairway. In verse 51, he says, "Then I said, I tell you the truth, you will see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth." He's the stairway, and the angels, his servants, are going up and down. They are serving him by bringing God's message down the stairs, and they're serving him by bringing our prayers, our hopes, before him up the stairs. They conduct their work for God on the stairs. And now, because of what Christ has done, this stairway is a picture of our life in Christ now. No longer are we earthbound. No. Heaven is no longer shut up to us. No, the Stairmaster has come to illuminate our way and to help us see greater things than what we can see sitting here, earthbound under our trees, like Nathaniel was. No, he's come to call us to follow him. He's calling all those who are willing to see that they are earthbound and that they are unworthy and that they have an absolute need for God to shine his light into their darkness. And when that happens, then we receive our call to the stairway. That is where we're called to live. Christ's life now, in us, on the stairway. And like the angels of God, we learn to speak for him and serve him, to live in him, to serve while we make our way up the stairs. In his strength, empowered by his Spirit, in route, moving upward, moving forward in him, discovering the strength and the grace and the joy and the greater things that are to be found in him. Jesus says, "I'm the stairway." This is where we're going to live this life, my friend. Moving upward, forward, receiving grace, strength, light, and hope. No longer sitting under our tree, no longer hopeless, no longer in the dark. Instead, we are being renewed step by step as we follow him. And the prayer of my heart today is that I will rejoice while I'm on the stairs, moving upward and forward in him. That's a prayer that I have for my family too, for my wife, my daughters, and my son. And that's a prayer that I have for you. May it be so. DailyRadioBible.com, that's our home base out here in the interwebs. And it's always great to hear from you. So if you got a moment sometime today, how about taking it and letting a brother know? Let me know who you are, where you're from, how you showed up here at this podcast. Hey, speaking of showing up, I am here in New Jersey, and if that's a surprise to you, well, you might know these things if you had signed up for our email newsletter. So let me take this as an opportunity to encourage you to sign up for our newsletter. Also, would you do this for me? Would you do me real solid and share the app here on this Lord's Day, this Sunday? It's a great day to share the Word of God with a friend. And you can do that real easy just by clicking on the icon on the app that says share the app. And you're off and on your way. And the last thing I'll ask you is this. Will you rate and review our podcast at the iTunes Store and or Google Play? That would be a huge benefit to us in that it makes it easier for people that are looking for this kind of community and content to find. we get a little higher up on the rankings according to the kinds of and the number of reviews that are offered. And so your reviews make a big difference. All right, hey, we've done it again. We have spent another day in the gospel, in the Bible, in on the stairway. And I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. We've got some more steps to count. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. And let's remember this, that you, me, we are loved. No doubt about it. Alrighty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care.